Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming today. Practically, I came not with a very clear vision of, not with a very clear purpose here. I mean, I will try to describe you what we're doing in the Institute in Israel. Right now, we're starting to expand this operation in a few other directions, so I will tell you about it, and we'll take it from there. And by the way, please feel free to stop me and ask me in general. So basically what we're doing here is we're trying to work around the areas of science, technology, and innovation, saying that if, let's say, 20 years ago there was like high tech in the rest of the world, the fact that there's the rest of the world, like health, like agrotech, like energy, practically all our life getting more and more knowledge intensive, and we pretty strongly believe that there is a role for Israel and the diaspora Jews to play in this game. This is why we established a non-profit organization in Israel who started 2.5 years ago to work with the government. I'll tell you a bit about what we're doing. And, okay, so practically what I would like to tell you is how Israel right now facing this, let's call it global challenges of health and, as I said, and we'll try to make kind of a discussion around it, because actually I came with questions. Came with questions of how can we extend it and how can you participate in the things that we're trying to do. So a few words about the Institute. As I said, it's a non-profit organization. We are something like 9-10 people on the payroll, another 50 on different steering committees, the top executives in Israel practically, from academia, industry, and government. And we're doing practically three things. One thing is pretty boring stuff of innovation policy research and methodological development. Not really exciting, but pretty important. This is practically the reason why I came here. We are starting to work with the Australian government, providing them methodological escort with their science and technology policy programs. And the basic idea behind it is that if we'll be able to build it correctly, then Israel and Australia will be able to cooperate, not on an agreement level, but practically on a real action level. Second thing that we are doing is we are working on the macro level, meaning we took responsibility over one of the biggest Israeli economic conventions, which is Caesarea Forum, and basing on this platform, we are building a group of government, industry, and academia leaders that will, on the one hand, will analyze the Israeli system of innovation and work on the issues of how to preserve its competitiveness. And I can tell you in a very short few words that it's not, the situation right now is not so wonderful. I mean, the basic ideas of the startup nations are there, but on the macro level, we're not in a very good position. Again, everything compared to something, but in Israel, is not like in Australia, we don't have mines to rely on. And frankly, we're not in a very good position. This is practically was the initial reason why we established the Institute. Maybe I should say that I'm originally from the high-tech industry. I was an entrepreneur. I had three companies of my own, spent 13 years in the university, did PhD in these areas, and now I'm building this Institute. So this Caesarea Forum, actually, the goal there is to bring all the Israeli leaders who are relevant to this environment, lead this cross-sectoral discussion, and this cross-sectoral, the idea to bring all of them together is not so trivial, because I have no idea why, but they're not doing it today, and translate this strategic debate into real pilot actions, meaning real programs. It's an exercise that we are doing. Right now it's starting to work pretty well, but we'll see. The first convention will be on October, and then we'll take it from there. The second thing that we are doing is actually takes most of our time. And this is focusing on specific areas of activity in which we believe that, on the one hand, Israel can play a role, and on the other hand, there is a huge value to be created as an integrator, as a place which is user-friendly for innovation, and like health and so on. And What we are doing in this space is actually to take the Israeli systems, like the health system, which I will give you an example as a case study, and actually design it to be user-friendly for innovation, meaning bring all the international partners to use Israel as a beta site, accelerate the entrepreneurship in this area, build critical infrastructures, which sometimes are not there, or actually I would say in Israel usually are not there. And the reason why I came here to this meeting is to see how can we extend this operation to a more global level. Meaning eventually it's a global game, meaning eventually we'll have to create this big mass of activities. And it's a big question, what is the right way to go here? So one way is pretty trivial, is let's bring IBM and all the executives and all the big companies to participate in the game, which is fine, and we're doing it. Actually, within 2 weeks, I believe you heard that Obama visited Israel, so we presented them this health platform that we're developing. Actually, not so much thinking about the idea that we should cooperate, but much more than we just want to position Israel as something, as some place that do some good, and not just all this mess that we are creating around us. Around, but the outcome was that we presented it to Obama and to his staff, and eventually we are starting. Within 2 weeks, we are in Washington to build this cooperation. If successful, U.S. will use this platform as their innovation center for digital health solutions, which could be very important. By the way, I'm not so sure about the economic value, but the geopolitical value is pretty extensive here. So this is the basic ideas behind it, and I think that I'll give you one example. Practically right now we are dealing with health, with agro, and with education, and starting to touch on smart transportation area. But maybe we'll stick to one example and then we'll be able to extend it to a bit of a discussion. But practically the basic idea is more or less the same. So, you know, the system, that the fact that the medical system worldwide is in a big problem, we all know. I mean, you don't have to be a big prophet to understand that the systems are going not in a very positive direction. And the fact that most of the, without a breakthrough, major breakthrough in these areas, we will be in a very, very deep problem worldwide, it's also kind of not a real prophecy. An interesting thing about this area, and you absolutely can associate it with agrotech, and by the way, in a big, also big time with education, that all these areas practically didn't experience penetration of ICT technologies, information and communication technologies during the years. I mean, if you analyze how the system works, practically it works like it was designed 2,000 years ago. There is no real data analysis. There is no capacity to manage processes on a wide scale. And by the way, it's not that we're so clever. If you look on this Obama's reform, you will see that practically there are two issues there. One is how to combine data to enable these processes, to bring analytics, to bring big data, and so on and so forth. And the second is pretty much political, meaning where to draw this line between private and public sector insurance. So we are not so much in the political level, but on the digital health space, what we are saying is that, first of all, there is, as usual, Israel has a good luck. Why? Because Israel is one of, among the only places in the world in which you will go to the health system and you will find that all the digital records are there for 15 years. Why? A combination of leadership and, as I said, luck. 15 years ago, a guy named Itzik Peterburg, who used to be the CEO of the biggest Israeli HMO. Practically in Israel, there are just two big HMOs, which contains 85% of the population. The mobility from the between the HMOs is practically zero, so they're pretty stable. But 15 years ago, they already started to digitalize all the data. And in parallel, we as Israel is stuck our ID numbers everywhere. So we have different databases. You have, how, as we say, single identifier, and now you can actually create a big, massive database. This is a reality. The other part of the reality is that we do nothing with it. Why we do nothing with it? Because no one really not care, but actually no one really looking on this ecosystem and think how to use this stuff and to position Israel within the global value chain. The government, well, you know, governments, they're not really into this stuff. They have more important things to do that they're not doing so well. The industry, it's impossible for the industry. Actually, I tried to do it as an entrepreneur and it was a pretty massive failure. And the health systems themselves, you know, as three, it's not on their priorities. It's the fact that they know that if they will change the systems, everything will be wonderful, it's great, but who cares? It's not about who cares, they really cannot do it because their slack is absolutely non-existing. So the basic idea of what we are doing is to say, okay, you need an organization, and it's very important that it will be a non-profit one because this cross-sectoral collaboration is very important, actually imperative. An organization that will be able to do practically three things. First of all, to look on a sector and design it to be user-friendly. So in this area, we're taking all the data sets of the HMOs. After 1 year, we reached an agreement, anonymizing them and building them to be accessible for research and development purposes. No doctors, just research and development. Second, we're bringing all the big companies in the world to use Israel as a global beta site, to install these big platforms of theirs, to be explored and to be further developed through open innovation ideas, using Israeli and not Israeli entrepreneurs to develop it. And third, we're working with the system itself to not, and helping them to change the structures that they will know how to work with beta sites, that they will know how to observe innovation. I can tell you as a short anecdote, for example, I was active in this field as an entrepreneur. Today it works that if you want to make a beta site in Israel, you have to go to the hospital, find the doctor, buy him lunch. During this lunch, it's not an elevator speech, it's a lunch speech. By the way, it's a very risky environment because most of the chances that you will die not because of the project but because of the food. But if you survive the food, then you can install the program and you'll testing it. You can imagine that it's not very, very effective environment. By the way, it works exactly the same in Australia. Exactly the same. Right now, we are focusing, the first program that we are running here is around health innovation, actually medtech innovation. And after 4 days of workshop, pretty extensive one, it works exactly the same. So the basic idea that let's take this organization and redesign it to be user-friendly and to know how to work with innovation is a very important stuff. And by the way, it's not a rocket science. It's not that we are so smart or something, but someone has to do it. If you think about it from an organizational point of view, then it's more or less what happened to Apple, IBM, Pfizer, and all the rest during the last 15 years. They actually changed the structures. Pfizer threw out 60,000 chemists and they recruit scouters instead. P&G declared 60% of innovation will come outside, and so on and so forth. I mean, I believe that you are familiar with all this, with all these trends. So the basic idea that if we will create, we will take this sector, create a user environment, user-friendly environment for development, practically we will create one, two, four things. We will upgrade the existing research capacities, because today if a wonderful researcher wants to use this data, it's practically impossible, which will create a huge new knowledge and better services to the population. We will open a huge door for economic development because, wow, now you can actually develop products, which is not such a bad idea because, you know, our startup nation today, 85% of new companies are either web applications or mobile, well, or gaming. Practically, we're taking all the best people in Israel and sending them to do gambling. Why? Because it's impossible to do something else. There is no infrastructure. Okay. And by the way, it's not that there is something wrong with gambling.
It's okay.
It's absolutely okay, but the fact that you are not building your economy on top of these things is also pretty well known. But we do nothing with it. And by the way, going back to the startup nation and our wonderful situation, the Israeli high tech for the last 5 years is already in stagnation. Okay, we showed it 3 years ago in this Kinsaria convention to the government, industry, and academia. Everyone accepted the thesis and went to the lobby in Putifors. Not as good as those, but it was okay. And nothing happened. Why nothing happened? Because you need a professional process. No one needs the idea. You know, it's a gavers. It's not good enough here anymore. Someone has to do this job. You know, it is managers. You know, it is investors, I guess. So this is what we're doing. Basically, it's not really exciting, but the idea is we're taking the data in this space, as I said, anonymizing it, putting it within a normally structured databases to be accessible for different analytical tools. Then we're bringing these analytical tools like IBM, Oracle, Microsoft, and all this stuff. And then we will bring all the different users, starting with startups, through NGOs, national projects, academia, and so on and so forth. And by the way, everything on an open platform. Everything is an open platform. We're not doing the business part here. Okay, we're not creating the rules. We're putting kind of a bylaw for this consortium, and the rest is for them to decide. We are working with the CEO of Clalita HMO, which is the biggest one, and convincing him to use this stuff to do it correctly and not to ask 50% of the company, as this is more or less what they're doing today. But, and by the way, they are very responsive. I mean, today I can tell you that we're gaining huge attention from all the managerial layers of the health system in Israel. And as I said, exactly like that we're doing in agrotech. Maybe I'll tell you a few words about it. So this is a basic idea. You are spotting this environment. You're selling the idea that let's position Israel in this sense as global innovation center. Why? Because we have a role and we can do it. And the fact that we can, I would also say that it's usually come with the idea that we should. And if we will do it, the impact will be wonderful. Because we will improve the Israeli, in this sense, health system. We will create huge economical value. And I would guess that we will also suggest a pretty good geopolitical impact. I can tell you just around this Obama visit, that when we offered to present this platform to Obama and his staff, eventually what happened was that Bibi jumped and presented himself. I mean, we sat it in this room from the morning because no one told us when we will be able to do it. We came with these big posters that we printed and paid for, and eventually they even didn't get us into the room. Bibi told the story to Obama, and everyone was very happy, which is, by the way, absolutely, I'm fine. I mean, that's okay with me, but it's a good story. It's a good story, and it's a good story that we should find the way to leverage it. More or less the same happening with the agrotech. Practically in the last year, we dedicated a big effort to work with the government. Government is Prime Minister Office, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Agriculture. 2 months ago, before the election, we launched a national program which trying to position Israel as a global innovation center in the area of agrotech. And by the way, we have a wonderful branding in this area. Everyone really thinks that we are heroes. But when we started to work around this area, and fortunately I was also an entrepreneur in this issue, so I knew that the story is much better than reality. There are today 45 startups in the area of agrotech. More of them are dead men walk. And so the story is wonderful. There is this Netafim and there are a few others, but real activity is practically zero. We still have the best agriculture system in the world. First of all, there are the smartest farmers because, you know, this is the situation. Practically, Israel is the only place in which a guy can sit on a combine and ask himself whether he will stay in the field or go to Harvard. But this is the situation, and it's a huge lever when this system is changing. But if you think about it, you know, remember this industrial revolution in which Charlie Chaplin moved his hands with this old-style production, and imagine and think about the facilities today. This is exactly what's going on in the agriculture world. there is a huge computerization trend because of sustainability, because of food security issues, because of the magnitude. You have to manage. It's not that you are managing a small plot. It's about thousands of acres that you have to manage. So it's changing. And it's changing, and this environment needs these ICT solutions and need optimization and need capacity to analyze and so on and so forth. But in order to do it, you need to develop infrastructures, you need to develop environment in which all the things could be done. Because it's not, as I said, it's not happened by itself. So practically what we are doing in this area of agrotech, we developed this supportive policy, which frankly, until today, except supportive theoretically, it's not really it's worth nothing because there is no money behind it. But the fact that the government is coming and saying we are participating in this game it's a huge value. It's a huge value because it's immediately putting you on the radar of the biggest companies, and it attracts attention, and it's wonderful. Maybe they even will put some money eventually, but that thing remains to be seen. The second thing that we're developing right now, we're building these consortiums of industry, academia, and government to establish different infrastructures. In this sense, it's also data, because in order to do optimization and all this stuff, you need data infrastructure that will be open to this activity. And today, it's impossible to find this kind of stuff. And the third thing that we're doing is actually on this network development layer, meaning let's bring entrepreneurs to this environment. And we're doing hackathons, and we're doing different startup weeks and innovation labs, and you name it. You know, there are a lot of buzzwords around it. But this is more or less what we're doing, trying to attract as much as possible actors into this field in order to create a critical mass of activities. By the way, in the minute that there will be a critical mass of activities, we are out. We're establishing this organization, which is we're calling it Israel Innovation Agrotech Innovation Alliance. The partners, it will be a new non-profit organization with new stakeholders. The stakeholders today will be Mahteshim Agan, they're already supporting it. The industry, yeah, exactly. So you are just building it, and maybe we'll stay and maybe we're not. I mean, if there will be a reason to stay, methodological reason, for example, that we can support them and we can make sure that it's going on, then wonderful. But if not, then we are out and we will focus on other fields. So basically during this 2.5 years in general, I can tell you we did already 5 national projects. We supported the government in their cybersecurity area, but it's not something that we will go on and support because we want to develop fields that are inspiring and not, and they don't need our support practically. We helped them to develop the policy program and that's it. We did the oil substitutes, agro space, and now we're starting to promote health and education. This is more or less the story. The question is pretty much straightforward. I mean, there are things that could be done in Israel, which is nice. But if we'll be able to open it to a global scale and bring a group of people around the institute who will help us to support it and develop it, it will be absolutely other game. It will be absolutely other game because it's a good platform to combine business and pleasures and philanthropy and ideals and everything, and this is what we're trying to do here. I mean, practically the only one who are not doing business in this area is me and the staff. Those who are getting salaries do no business around it today. This is a bylaw of the organization. All the rest are doing pretty good business actually because it's a wonderful network. But right now, as we already established these programs in Israel and we're actually starting to build the real infrastructures and to deal with use real world activities, and it's not an idea anymore, we're starting to look for a way to extend these activities, and this is more or less why we started this conversation with ROI and exploring possibilities of what is the right way to go.
So you've chosen to be a not-for-profit deliberately so that you'll be able to get the buy-in from government and industry.
Yeah.
But really you're just acting as a catalyst And as soon as anything moves to any significant economic activity, you step back and let them do their thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's a much more friendly model because it's less threatening to the other stakeholders.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I can tell you more, it's the only way to do it. I mean, because if you are trying to, it's a non-profit and it's an unbiased non-profit. Because, for example, the health program, if I would take $1 from IBM on the very beginning of the process, it would be dead today. No chance. And we're cooperating with IBM corporate into the highest ranks, starting with the CEO and down to the people who are responsible for their health and public sector activity. Actually, I'm just exchanging emails with them today because they're helping me to build this document for Obama. They know how to do it much better than we do. But but we cannot take their money yet. When we will establish the consortium, it's okay. Until then, we need this philanthropic net to support the activity. Just to say a few words about the financial background of the organization, I sponsored it for the first 2 years. It was unintentionally, actually. As an entrepreneur, I thought that it will take me 3 months to convince someone to step in. But it didn't happen so fast. Today we're already getting something like 50-60% of the financing from the government and the rest coming from industry, and I'm supporting it a bit more, but almost not supporting it. Practically, the basic model is to reach one-third, because you cannot take more than one-third from the government and stay unbiased. And otherwise, and there is another problem in Israel that if you're taking more than 50%, you are subject to their laws, meaning you have to do these contracts and all this stuff, and it's killing you. I mean, you cannot establish this kind of a platform for health through tenders. It's not working this way. You're not doing a tender between IBM and Cisco who will come and give you as a donation their biggest systems. But this is a story. I'm done. Now your turn.
Who are you meeting with the health people here in Australia?
The CEO of Commercialization Australia, Doron Ben-Meir, he established this group, and right now he decided to promote our methodology of this ecosystem development as a test case under their declaration to promote different clusters. The specific people in this workshop, I thought it was there were people from ministry, and people from Cook, from what's the name?
Cochlear.
Gray Innovation. It was initial workshop, actually, it's just the first step, so it weren't so many people, but it was a group of around 10 people from the sector, and all the rest is kind of a supporting system.
My wife is on the board of something called the National Institute of Integrative Medicine, and it's evidence-based medicine that they research, pool the information, and they utilize information for cancer research.
Yeah.
It'd be something that I'm sure they'd be very interested in having a look at.
Yeah, so in this sense, actually, practically the reason why we decide to come here and promote this policy collaboration, except the fact that they are paying, not as the Israeli government, and it's really important for us this time. And actually, it's also a good idea because right here we are focusing just on the methodology. Now, in Israel, we're doing everything, and it's harder to codify and to establish all these processes. And here it's a wonderful opportunity, so we're doing it. But the main reason behind it, if to draw the ideal picture, which is not the situation, of course, is to build cooperations. If we'll be able to design these programs appropriately and work here with the health system, and this is why we told Doron that we will come if they will work, if they will start with health or agrotech, because initially their idea was to start with mining, which is wonderful for business connections, but not so relevant to what we're doing currently. Although we will support them if they will go into this stuff.
Well, the agro tech is very important.
Yeah. But they decided to start with health, and this is what we're doing.
Well, when Tony Abbott comes into power, he's going to, which is inevitable. The Northern Territory needs so much support because he's going to create a system where he wants it to be the food bowl for Asia, which has always been an idea, but never had government funding to do so. And that's some of the business. And it's like what Israel looked like, you know, 100 years ago, and to bring Israeli technology to the Northern Territory is a very big opportunity.
But this is exactly the reason why I'm sitting here. I mean, in the minute that you will find the way to cooperate and work with us, this is exactly the thing that could be done here and elsewhere. Right now, working with Canada, with the US, not that I have so much time to walk around the world and tell this story, and actually I'm not doing it, maybe not enough, but this is exactly the idea, to tell you the story, because you can build these operations around it and leverage it here. It's not something that we can do. We can come for a few weeks to support the policy, blah, 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 and do this stuff. And we even have Leon Kempler on our board here. Not here, there. Leon is on my board. Actually, one of the supporters and helping us a lot. So we can use these networks. But still, it's pretty limited in terms of what could be done from Israel, and it's not the goal. The goal is exactly create a group of people who starting to look for ways to leverage these activities and do it here or there or whatever.
Can you talk about feeder programs from here to go to Israel? Or is it people who start something here and then it seems a potential and they come to Israel and get more support for that?
Yeah, well, the basic idea is theoretically, yes. How can or should you do it? It's a good question. I would say that in the minute that we will have this infrastructure, for example, of health in hand, the more logical thing would be to use this infrastructure for the initial phases and then bring it here. Because I cannot imagine that you will use Israel as a market. You maximum can use Israel as a lever for some kind of a development.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like start, someone here has an idea.
Absolutely.
They know that they don't have enough programs to, or whatever, people to help them out. So they take the idea to Israel, work on it more, and then bring it
over. It's a learning curve here. I mean, I would say that, yes. First of all, yes. So the direct answer would be, when we are building this network of entrepreneurs, for example, in Israel. So now, right now, in May, we have the first program for smart transportation. We would like to bring people from the rest of the world to participate, which is a wonderful place for you to meet these people and to build these teams. Because I cannot help you to build the team, but I can give you access to the network. And frankly, I'm not so sure that you need much more than that. So this is one avenue to cooperate, and for sure, yeah. This year in May we have this initial program on smart transportation, and we did no publicity around the world yet because first of all we don't have the financial capacities, and second we preferred to do the first time internally and then extend it. But next year certainly we will open it, and if we will have people here, so it would be a very important game to cooperate. You know everything. What are you asking?
I'm just here. I wanted just to tell you that the two initiatives at the moment taking place in Melbourne, and I would recommend you really to meet with Ron Finkel on two fronts. One is AussieMed, the new initiative Ron is now leading, not only that he's asking now the Hebrew University to be part of the initiative, but in general what he wants to create here is a fund that will support joint ventures in medical research between Syria and Israel, but that the support, the financial support, will come in a way to the hands of researchers here, because it also provides some adaptability for this. So I think this is really worthwhile for you to do. And the other thing that is also, he carries a cap, and I was just coming from Israel last week from the Arava, visiting the R&D Agri or Agro
Center. Yeah, we're working with them.
You know, in Chatzivá, where in a way there's an unbelievable happenings there on all fronts. If it's created the opportunity of new varieties of vegetables, that Australia would like to buy seeds. They're already ready now to put money into new seeds of amazing innovations, especially in tomatoes and capsicums. And then not to mention, for example, an amazing growing industry of fish farming in Queensland for export to Japan. Just imagine that Australia is exporting fish to Japan for sushi. You know, they don't have enough fish for sushi in Japan. So, and it's all the Ministry of Agriculture in Israel is sort of supporting it. So I think that it will be worthwhile for you before you leave to meet with Ron even for 1 hour and see if your institute could be involved with it.
Okay, so I'll be happy to. Can you try to arrange it?
Yes.
Okay.
I will see. If one would be here because you're leaving tomorrow, but I think it's worthwhile because behind the scene, you see amazing joint ventures between Australia and Israel on Abu and of course on Davis. Worthwhile.
Great.
Okay, well, 2 minutes to 9, so thank you very much for your time coming here today. Please join me in thanking Leonard.